We have a basketball program that we all expect to compete in the Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national check.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, and Tyler finally joins us after way too long as Illinois ekes out the victory in Seattle, 81-77. Boys, I feel like this was a must-win for the podcast with the vibes that we were riding on a couple nights ago. And we were like, Illinois, all-time high, an amazing week. I got to be honest, if we had gone down in this one, that would have been a real kind of
gut punch. Yeah.
Gut punch, embarrassing one. But Tyler, it's good to see you after a few months here. Let's just go right to you. Can you tell us kind of what happened a little bit in the second half? They're obviously going up big in the first half. And what happened at the end there?
Well, I mean, throughout the second half, I think it was a situation where you had one guy that was beating you. And, you know, sometimes that happens. And people say, oh, how can you let one guy beat you? You got to adjust on defense, and they did. They sent multiple guys at him. They tried Boswell, and they tried KJ on him. They even went with height. They put Ben Hummerkaus on him on that last play. But sometimes guys just go off. You know, if shooters get a sliver, you know, he's making shots. Give him credit. So you had that, and then I think they did. We did a poor job of taking advantage of getting in the bonus. They were like three or four possessions in a row where we went from like six fouls from the bonus to double bonus. And I feel like we got to the line like three or four possessions in a row or close to that. And then we settled back into jump shot mode. And obviously that wasn't falling tonight. And so you didn't get any free throws until it was time until the end when Washington had to foul. And, you know, you were off from three, and that's kind of how Washington crawled back into it. That happens on the road. And then, like you said, it was all about the vibes on Thursday night were as good as we've had in a long time in the regular season, at least. But you knew that, you know, deep down you had to get this second win to make it a successful trip to really, you know, solidify this team as a Big Ten titled contender, if not favorite, then yeah, you win this game. Anyway, it didn't matter if it was this or if they would have been a 20-point blowout. This, you had to win it, and they got it done. So, success.
I'm glad you mentioned that last part there. You know, I almost felt like for a minute there were some, you know, Illinois-Purdue football vibes where it's like, oh, man, we were a way better team and we got outmatched in the second half. Don't care. Do not care at all.
Yep.
Transitive property does not exist. I get it. It would have been fun to see Illinois, you know, win in a blowout again after winning, you know, by a record setting 32 points on Thursday night or whatever it was, but don't care. It does not dampen my emotions.
Yeah. Aside from the turnovers, I feel like an ugly win like that is beautiful. Like, we did not have our A game. We shot 19% from three. And we just kind of like willed our way to win that game. Like, you score points in the paint, you got offensive rebounds. It was clear that that was not our A effort. Our A effort was against Oregon. And it's really hard to do that back-to-back games on the road. So I will absolutely take away two wins on the road. And also just like the way that Kasperis ended that game, I feel like he was so calm, cool, and collected. Like, Washington 8-0 run. Okay, I'm just going to go lay the ball up here and then sink both of those free throws. So it was great. Like, both Tylan and Kasperis had moments of missed free throws against SEC teams. Kasperis missing that free throw against Tennessee. Kylan missing that free throw against Missouri. And then they both just they didn't even seem nervous up there. They were just like, all right, yeah, I'm just making these free throws.
Sweet redemption. Sweet redemption, indeed. Hard to win on the road.
You make a good
Big Ten.
You make a good point, Dan, about the 3-point shooting being off and how you had to win a different way. And that's what a good team has to do. You know, like you said, we were at our best on Thursday, but that's going to happen. You make 16 threes, you're going to win every game. I mean, you just are. I mean, but on a night where the threes aren't falling and you can show that you can score 50 some points in the paint and win that way, that kind of shuts off that narrative of, oh, live by the three, die by the three. Now they've shown that you can win either way. And obviously, the more fun way is when you made 16 threes and win by 30. But when you can gut one out and get 52 points in the paint, I'm looking at here, 14 offensive rebounds, 14 second chance points, That's how you win a game on the road, when you're not on your best.
Josh, did that game remind you of any previous game that we'd attended?
No, I'm kidding. It reminded me exactly of that Maryland game where Anthony Collin scored 27 points, and he made sure to tell me that he scored 27 points as I was chirping him after a loss. Don't know why I was chirping him after a loss. But then
College kids, man.
the inbounds play too. I just, oh, it
Oh my
is.
God, flashbacks. Night. How many times that are other teams, as you
I
know.
actually I don't put the blame on like Trey White in that play. It was on KJ. KJ just stopped moving. Like Trey White's gonna pass the ball to the like where he thinks KJ is gonna be. I mean, he probably should just put it right in the numbers, but I still feel like KJ just stopped, and like if you're making a cut and you stop, someone's gonna try to probably hit where you're continuing to move.
I don't know enough
I don't
X's and
it, I
O's
don't know. It was
about what the play was supposed to be drawn up as.
We've had a few inbounds after timeouts that
On the sideline,
understandably, Twitter,
it's the easiest place to. There's so much room. You have the entire half court behind you. Just throw the ball in the back court, and it's fine. I mean, yeah, you might be a couple seconds delayed with your action, but I mean, get the number one when Coach Henson was. You know, I was playing for Coach Henson. He always said the most important thing about an out of bounds play is not scoring; it's getting the ball in bounds. Everything else is secondary. You can't throw the ball away in crunch time and two consecutive. I mean, so I mean, they'll all I jinx us here, but the likelihood is that we see that again by the end of the year on a sidelines play. That would surprise me, because that's one of the things that you just, once you've done it a couple times, that's just not a thing you're gonna see happen again. That's kind of fluky, but
I hope you're
nervy.
right. I hope you're right, Tyler. I hope that we don't see that happening again this year. It was fluky. What were we doing at the very, very, very end of the game when we were up four and KJ and Ivicic are like contesting the 3-point shot? What? Lay
Yeah, I
down.
don't know.
I always just like lay down. Do they not
Let
teach
them
that?
score two, let them score three. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't
Did
make
they
any difference.
have Illinois minus 3.5
Just
with
walk
KJ?
all five guys to the baseline and stand there.
Walk off the court. Walk off the court.
But that too,
Leave.
yep.
It's like in football where you don't have to snap the ball anymore. Like, walk off the court. So I love the effort, but at that point, I promise you don't have to play through the whistle there. Great. So it's a successful 2-game road trip. Anything else about this game? Otherwise, we can look ahead a little bit.
Ooh, I feel like we got to mention Trey White. He was just
Absolutely.
like, just such a calming presence in that game. I mean, just like we hadn't seen it a lot from him of home, almost just kind of like a little bit of like a back to the basket or just a couple of mid-range shots. But that was really fun to watch. And he did not have it going like shooting wise from three. I think he was like 0 for. But man, that was like earlier in the season. Everyone's like, people were advertising him as like a guy who could really like shoot, but also do the same things that Ty Rodgers was doing. And finally, you're seeing that, like that offensive rebound that he got. Like it felt like so many guys were on the floor today, which was really fun to watch. And it seems like, I don't know, this team's effort is there night in, night out.
Oh, there's no doubt. We're 4 games in now to conference play, so we're 20%. Tyler, I guess just with everything that we, I guess I'll say, didn't know going into the season with the lack of returning players and whatnot. Generally speaking, is expectation-wise, are we exactly where you thought we'd be? Playing maybe a little bit better than we thought we'd be. We're 20% in. I know Josh likes to talk about the, what is it, the quartiles or
Quartiles. You
whatever.
gotta just be over 500 in
In every quartile, says
in every
we're done with the
quarter.
first, we're done with the first
We're
quartile
almost
here.
done. Oh.
Almost done with the first quartile
And we
in the
clinched
Big
it.
Ten. We clinched it.
It
Yes. We get the hats and the t-shirts out, boys. We clinched the first quartile of a Big Ten play. Yeah, Tyler, how about
Yeah,
you?
three
Let's
and
let me
one in the
talk.
first quintile, but
Quintile. I'm cute.
one
Excuse
more
me.
for the
Yes.
quartile.
Yes. Tyler, what
You know,
how does it
I
stack
think
up?
it's, I think most observers of this team, in preseason previewing, had said the same kind of thing. This is a team that's going to struggle in December, November, December, and you're going to see a team that's better in January, February, March than they are in February in the preseason. And that's exactly what we've seen. I think maybe they're a little ahead of schedule. I remember when I wrote the schedule piece for the preview, I always have one of my bullet points is, when will I learn everything I need to know about this team? And usually it's pretty early in the schedule. But I put it at the 10th game of the Big Ten schedule, the Northwestern at home against Northwestern, which is the 10th game of the conference season. And I said that because I figured by halfway through the Big Ten, we'd see if this team was genuinely on the upswing or if we were just kind of going to scuffle along and be kind of a bubble team the whole way. So obviously, I think they're a little ahead of schedule with the performances over the last couple of weeks. I mean, you gave a couple games away with youth type, inexperienced type mistakes at Northwestern, and then in the Tennessee game, you almost tried to give one away today, but you got out of it. You've established that you've got a stone cold closer in KJ, which you kind of needed to find that. Who's the guy you want with the ball at the end of the game? You've established that you can make free throws late to win games, and like we did against Missouri. And so, yeah, I think right ahead of schedule. I mean, if anything, from my standpoint.
I'll take right ahead of schedule.
Yeah, I think the 10th game thing, though, is really still like kind of accurate for this team, because I'm going to take the first two games of Big Ten play are always like, I don't know, I treat them still as like pseudo like non-con.
Yeah,
games.
They're weird
games. Like I never know really how to feel going into the Big Ten season. We lost to Northwestern. Northwestern could have looked like a great team. They're now 1-3 in the Big Ten play. So like I'm already writing them off from winning the conference. And then for these two games, these are two non-Big Ten teams that you went on the road, which is great. And like they are as much as like not what we've seen in the past, I guess from just like we haven't been there literally, but like I still feel like you have Penn State coming up, then you play another non-Big Ten team in USC. So like we still
non-Big
have a
Big Ten team.
Yeah,
non-Big
yeah, yeah.
Ten.
And
Big
we
still Ten have
yeah, Wisconsin was an auto win, like we just always win. So,
right, but
so
it was part of that grouping of the first
yes,
two games that
yes,
don't mean
yes,
anything.
Yes.
Auto win.
So yet,
like a real
we have
Bears
yet
fan.
To play a Big Ten game, is what
correct.
You're saying, Josh. Yeah.
Correct. A real Big Ten game.
Yeah,
so
yes.
Home against Penn State, who we have struggled with as of late, is a great reminder, but we still then have five more games to get to that 10th Big
fine.
Ten
it's,
game.
The Penn State game is not at their, like, whatever, Huff
Palestra.
Hall.
These are back-to-back trap games. It's been on my mind. It's kind of what I'll write about in my post-game article tonight. Is these two games, it's a tough, you know, on one hand, I was happy to get the West Coast swing out of the way early. It's like, okay, because I don't think a lot of teams are going to go 2-0 on the West Coast. I mean, it's just hard to travel and do that. And you got to do it on, you know, it's not, Big Ten teams aren't used to staying around and hanging out in two different cities over the course of a weekend, which is what most teams are going to have to do. And so I was happy to get that out of the way early. But then I break it down. Like, well, you have this really tough back-to-back in Washington. Then you got to fly across country. I don't know what the weather's like, you know, as far as them getting home tonight or tomorrow travel-wise. But then, you know, at best, they're going to be home, you know, have a one-day practice for a Penn State team that's always given them troubles against wins. So Penn State's another trap game, if you will. And that's to get to that 4-1 quartile that Josh wants to get to. So it's tough.
The all-important quartile. The all-important quartile is, I mean, is do you, what makes this Penn State game a trap game other than the fact that Illinois is a much higher
just the circumstances, not necessarily the fact that it's Penn State. It's just the circumstances of travel. And again, you're coming off an emotional weekend, you know, you had a cruising performance in a really emotional game. So you got to, and then it's just, turnarounds like that are hard. I mean, I don't care who you're playing. It's
yeah,
just, you know, travel across the country, basically a one day practice before you play on Wednesday. That's a tough stretch. So that will tell me a lot about this team too. I mean, that's the kind of team, if you get 3-0 in that stretch, that's what a veteran team can do. And you're like, you know, so get me through this week with a couple wins, and I'm really fired up about the long-term potential of this team. So
yeah, and we probably benefited that it was during winter break, so a little bit sleepier crowds at Oregon, Washington, aka Welsh Ryan Arena from 1927.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah. Kind of
seemed
a Mickey
like
Mouse.
A light, light.
Am I allowed to say that? Am I allowed to say Mickey Mouse Court? You know what I think makes it a Mickey Mouse Court though is that it looks like they do volleyball there, and
oh,
you could
for
see
sure.
The little like manhole cover of where the like volleyball like posts go. Mickey Mouse, gotta have your own. Basketball arena right there. But yeah, definitely a sleepier crowd. Any curtains tonight, Johnny? Did you notice that there were no curtains?
No, I think they did not cover off the upper
just
deck or the second deck.
No, I know.
Wow, that was great.
These guys are on curtain watch always. These guys are the curtain guys that will let you know.
Hey Tyler, I got some questions. I want to talk about two players. One that is obviously been showing a lot of promise as of late, and one who isn't.
I know the second one. Yeah.
And one who isn't. Like, I feel like right now DGL is coming in and providing us exactly like I'm trying to think of who last year's version of DGL is. That's not DGL. He's giving us the minutes off the bench that just are valuable. And
Nico
like,
in his best moments.
Honestly, it's like sometimes it's almost a Dane Danger, which like their styles are totally
correct.
Different, but
no,
it's
no,
like
no,
true
I get what you're saying.
Energy off the bench. And there are times where you're like, we can kind of run our offense through DGL. Like if he's isolating, like that's amazing.
Yes. So DGL. So he's providing us good spark, but then everyone's favorite player going into the season, who started off the season very well, like Will Riley is just like, he's looking like a deer in headlights, like it, showing like that it is hard as a freshman, sans KJ, like to play in the Big Ten. And I don't know. I just feel like, if I'm Rad right now, this is just my thought. Like, I need to do what I can to make sure he's on the court and at least doing whatever he can do to help us win the game. But it's also a liability out there at times. The reason I'm saying keep him on the court is we're recruiting him to keep him for next year.
And next year. There we go. Yep. Yeah. Next year. Stick him around.
Yeah.
Stick
it's
around.
Always the balancing act. I mean, with the way the portal is now, I mean, you invest in a player and on one hand you want your team to succeed. And you can't do that at the expense of keeping one guy happy. And we've seen obviously that all over the country, you know, Illinois included. But it's tough for Will right now. I mean, I think the question with him in the preseason was, does he have enough strength to at this stage in his evolution as a player and an athlete to compete in the Big Ten? Right now, you can tell that he lacks that strength. He just doesn't have you can move him off the ball, move him off his center of gravity really easily. He's always shooting off balance. It's tough to get him set. He's his 3-point shooting's all obviously fallen way off in against high major teams. So I think there'll be games where he goes off, you know, where he finds the range from three and he'll score 10, 12 points. I think he's part of the rotation. He's going to be out there for, you know, 10, 20 minutes a game. If he's successful offensively, he's going to get 20 minutes a game. If he's not, he's going to get 10. And I think that's similar for DGL. It's just the change of pace guys. There's going to be games like where DGL is just a non-factor. But there's games like tonight where, and against Oregon, where he's that instant spark off the bench. I'm going to go way back in my NBA fandom to an old Troy Pristin guy, Vinny Johnson. They called him the microwave because he would always come off the bench and heat things up. I don't know. Again, I'm going way back, but that's
That's fun.
DJ is always is my Vinny Johnson comp. He's the microwave that he comes in and just heats things up, and both on offense and defense. And he's a really he's probably our best attack the basket guy. You know, I got to get to the rim. I mean, he's a finisher. I mean, we've seen how good he can finish. You know, in contrast to Kylan Boswell, he struggles finishing at the rim. But DGL, he gets to the rim, he's making that shot.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, better than Kylan at the rim?
Well,
Kylan's a
finishing,
bit bigger,
yeah.
A little
I mean,
bit
but,
stronger.
I mean, Kylan's obviously, he's such an important player, and he's a better round, more rounded player overall. But it's, again, for a spark off the bench, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better guy than DGL. So he's going to, again, same thing. They'll be nice where he gets, what do you get tonight? He had 20 minutes. Will had 11. And there might be nights where they'll just switched because of circumstances. And that's just kind of part of the rotation. You know, you got your starters are going to go, you know, 25, 30. And then between Merez and Will and DGL, and those guys are going to have anywhere between 10 and 20, depending on the circumstances. So as far as both of those players, I think they're both going to be important parts of the rotation. And there'll be nights where they shine, nights where they don't. So.
Fair enough. Excellent. See, this is why we got to have Tyler on more often. It's like giving us the 80s NBA references, right? Michael,
I know, right?
This is why we got to have Tyler on more often. Yeah, Johnny, I can tell there's a thought brewing in your head.
Well, no, I was thinking maybe for our generation, that's more of like a Jamal Crawford or a Lou Williams type of guy.
They have a nickname.
Yeah, the microwave. Did not have the nickname. Did not have the nickname. But what I was thinking was, like, it's just so interesting to watch this team because Will Riley just truly feels like a freshman. Like, I remember watching, I was at the Northwestern game. Tyler, I knew you were there too. And just seeing him next to Barnheiser and next to Nick Martinelli. And you could just see, like, what multiple years of being in, like, a weight room development program does for you. And he's just, like, so skinny. I mean, he's like 6'8", 185 pounds. Like, you're going to get moved around. And he just feels like a freshman. The other guy who feels like a freshman, but there's still so many positives, is Merez. And I was wondering why he wasn't playing more today, but that maybe was just like a matchup sort of thing. But he's been so encouraging, and I'm just curious, like, what your opinion of him has been the past few games.
Well, I think tonight specifically with Merez, Washington had their best success when they took their big guy out. Their big guy, you know, he was ineffective in a couple. He had a good stretch late in the second half where he got the free throw line a few times. But Washington was playing their best with him not on the floor.
Yeah,
and with him not on the floor, it's that's a tough lineup for Merez to be in. You know, Washington's going to go smaller. Merez is probably not going to play because you got to. That's how you go five out and keep Tommy on the floor because he can shoot and spread the floor. So I think that's probably why his minutes were down tonight. But I mean, on the whole, I mean, getting back to that whole Will Riley thing about we want to keep him happy. Let's keep Merez happy too, because I mean, that's a 4-year college player right there. And if you can keep him in, I mean, imagine Merez, you know, he's obviously got the strength already that Will Riley doesn't, but if you get him develop an offensive game and he's raw right now, I mean, that's a monster as a junior or senior. So, I mean, keep a guy happy, keep Merez happy, because Will's gone next year regardless. Merez, that's a 4-year guy.
Talk about legacy, like with how long ago he committed, how early he committed, and like
he's a Tim Anderson guy too, though.
Yeah,
he's a Tim Anderson guy, and that's you always worry about those little, you know, those relationships and how they kind of the back channels and such. So, you know, I'm not trying to start anything there. It's just always a little concerning when, you know, when something like that happens. But I mean, yeah, he's been bought in forever, and a guy who's been sold on Illinois and committed that long ago. If there's a guy I want to succeed, especially in this day and age, and get old in this program, it's Merez. So
absolutely
keep him happy.
And kind of to talk you down from like worrying there, Tim Anderson started a player development like program in like Champaign. So I think unless he takes an assistant job somewhere else, that's where he's at. Don't ask me how I know that.
Okay.
I don't know if that's public information, but thank
no,
you.
No, I think it's on his Instagram. Yeah. I think it's on his Instagram. Okay, okay. I think it's on his Instagram. Yeah, Josh, you want to reveal your sources?
Instagram.
His Instagram. Okay. So we're within. We didn't spoil. We didn't. Everything was cool here. No one. It was on his Instagram. But yes, that is the day and age of the transfer portal. Let's just every year you got to re-recruit your dudes. But that would be. I'm extrapolating out 4 years from now and just senior night for Merez in whatever year that is, 2028, 2029.
Kissing the eye.
Yeah.
Kissing the eye, hugging Whitman, hugging Underwood. And it's just Merez, it's a really good 4 years and he's top five in all time wins at Illinois or something. Cause it was a really successful next, quartile of years. but a guy can dream, but yes, he is someone that does not look like a freshman. You forget what 18-year-olds are supposed to look like.
Yeah.
Not 18-year-old.
That's a grown man right there. Yeah.
That is a grown ass man. That is impressive. That is impressive. So
no, well, I feel like he looks exactly like what you would expect like a top 30, top 40 freshman to look like. Where it's just like this guy is just better than his peers, but you see there's still so much room for improvement. Like there was a play against Chicago State where he finally did like a drop step dunk. And I was like, number 21, that looks like Kofi Coburn. Like, but now he just needs to add, he's 260 right now. Like, if you had another 15 pounds of muscle on him and he starts doing that against Big Ten players, like, that's a different dude. So you can really see, like, yes, he is a freshman. And yes, he still, like, has some of those moments. But, like, 2 year at this point, like, he's not like a normal Big Ten freshman. A normal Big Ten freshman was Jace Butler on the other side of the court, who DGL just did some beautiful things too.
How good is that, Johnny? I know you love Texas. DGL shutting down Jace Butler right there.
And he gave him the little.
He did the little, the too short little brother thing. Yes. Yeah, that was.
I mean, it's little backstories like that are fun because you know that he, I mean, he was on campus. And I'm sure that, you know, maybe they hang out when he was on his recruiting visits here, that Jace Butler. And so maybe there was, you know, a little history there. So you love to see little things like that. It's
I love
fun.
it. I love it. That's awesome. Let the boys have a little bit of
I want to go
fun.
back to Johnny's point about Trey White because specifically you referenced the Northwestern game. And there was a ton of Trey White hate after that Northwestern game. Like, what's this guy bringing? You know, how is this guy on the roster in favor of Ty Rodgers? And I love Ty Rodgers for everything he brought to this program, but this roster as it's put together is fantastic in, as far as being able to win different ways. And to see Trey White become the, like you said, the calming influence when a month ago he was the guy that people were requesting why is he even on this team. It's really satisfying to see him become one of the most reliable players on the floor for this team.
Turns out you probably shouldn't overreact in the first
Yeah,
pseudo Big
right.
Ten game.
Yeah,
Us
totally nothing, right?
overreact? What? We would never do that. We would never do that. But yes, the fact that he's absolutely playing into the guy that we thought he was and seeing him on draft boards absolutely speaks to that, Tyler.
I mean,
So
we had 17-7 tonight after what, 20-11 on. I mean,
yeah,
that's big time right
impressive.
there. That's it's fun to watch him play.
Yeah, and that's the such an interesting part of like recruiting though, because they referenced him today on the broadcast. They're like, Trey White is a winning player, and it's hard to like evaluate that when you were on a Louisville team last year that just was not a winning team at all.
No.
So credit a lot to Brad to finding him, and I feel like he was one of those guys who wasn't totally on our radar, but like an early commit that everyone was like, okay, this guy seems to fit the mold of what we're looking for. And I mean, Brad had also said a similar thing about Humrickhouse. Like, it's hard for these transfers sometimes to just immediately get acclimated. He was saying like same thing with Marcus last year. Like, he wasn't fully himself until the Northwestern game at home. So that like the first semester in particular is difficult, and it seems like Ben in particular is starting to make some jump shots. Trey White starting to be him. Kylan, I mean, it took him the first few cupcake non-con games to really like get adjusted, but now he's absolutely the guy. So it's been fun to just see like this team continue to gel, and that's exactly what you were talking about earlier, Tyler, of November and December might be a little rough, but
All of the, I mean, the Ivicic and Kasparis, like,
yeah.
again, I feel like what just totally we for nah, I don't forget we forget is like everyone here is new. Tyler, as three other guys here who have not really played, you know, competitive basketball, how difficult is it to gel and play this good of basketball, whatever you're now 13, 16 games into the year, when you met some of these dudes a couple months ago in the summer? I feel like that is overshadowed by all this, that no matter where Illinois finishes, it makes it all the more impressive that they did this, meeting each other so recently. And yes, I know that to a certain extent, a lot of college basketball is going to be like this right now, where there's transfers and whatnot. But I can't help but think that that is so unbelievably impressive and probably is not getting enough attention of how new these guys are in playing with one another.
It's actually it's amazing. I mean, that's why I was hedging my bets until mid-January because I didn't think they'd come together this quick. But obviously, Brad Underwood has earned our trust with roster construction and his team's getting better as they go along. I think it probably helps when your two best players, at least, or two, you know, are ball handlers. And when you got a guy that like especially like with KJ with him at, you know, handling the ball. Once he kind of learns what guys he's been so good at that, knowing what picking that up, what how to run pick and roll with different guys. And so when you have a player with the ball in his hands like KJ or with Kylan, I think that helps the gel pro the coming together process, speeds that process up. It expedites it a lot. So
It's impressive. It's impressive shit. Excellent. Fun circus road trip here for the boys here. Back when the Bulls used to do that and go cross country
yeah,
here for a couple
yes,
days
yeah.
here. Anything else, guys? Otherwise, it's time to end the whatever it is. I think Robert tweeted a couple minutes ago with 1,039 days since we've lost to Penn State. It's pretty surprising that you know, in the Brad Underwood tenure, that there's still a wild number like that with all the numbers that we get to cast upon other teams. That is just like the one sort of black eye of sort of absurd numbers or streaks that still exists for Illinois here. So I look forward to hopefully
Yeah, I feel like there's like three teams that are still like thorns in our side consistently,
I
and
think I know
that's
exactly
Penn
what you're gonna
State,
say.
Maryland, and Purdue.
I was going to
And
say,
Purdue, yeah.
Purdue, I think I was going to say Northwestern. Purdue, less of a thorn, just like they're really good. And
Yeah,
because the thing is with some of those Maryland, some of those Penn State teams, Illinois is by far the better team. With some of those Purdue games, you travel to Purdue. You know, we didn't have Terrence last year in that Purdue game in West Lafayette. It's almost like, is that a thorn in my side, or we just lose to a better team? So, but I do agree with you.
I know. Thorn in your side, oftentimes it's like inferior talent, but Purdue is just like a team that I feel like we've struggled with, and that now has recentered what one of my biggest goals for this team is for this season, is have a better record than Purdue, because
Yes.
I want to keep that streak going of like best record since 2020 in the Big Ten. Like, just continue to remind everyone that the Big Ten runs through Champaign. They showed the graphic today. I think we were exactly the same winning percentage, but now
Yes.
we're one win ahead of Purdue because I think they had played like the 2020 season. They might have had a game canceled, so they're one win fewer than us. But hey, we will take it,
We will
and
take it. We'll absolutely take that. Yes. And the whole season comes down. It's the last game of the season. It's the Purdue game.
That's a
I
fun
almost feel like
finale.
you think about it in the back of your head every game. It almost feels like this is an extreme example where it's like Michigan, Ohio State in football. It's like no matter what happens, like you've got that game to look forward to, and that Sunday in March there. So I feel like that game is absolutely in the back of my head here. But we still got plenty more games to go in the meanwhile. Any last takeaways, Tyler, before we let you go here? Go rest a little bit.
Get
Any?
these two home wins in the books. Get it done. And again, it's like tonight. Whatever. No matter how you look, no matter how it plays out, just get these two W's. I think USC will come in and struggle. That's not as worried about that one. I'm worried about the Penn State game because of history and because of travel. But you need these two in the books because it's a really tough road trip coming up, road swing coming up next week with at Indiana and at Michigan State. So.
That should be real
Just
fun.
to
That
add
should be
to how
fun.
this is more of a trap game for like the circumstances thing. I know Oregon and Washington just dealt with it. No, actually Washington has a student section. We won't have a student section because I think it is a winter break still.
Still,
There
wow.
you go. But at least
Still?
the players don't have to take classes. That's the only good thing, is that they can fully focus on basketball.
Got it. Yes. They're
Yeah.
got it. Okay. They'll be really, student
Hey,
athlete.
Casper is a 4.0 student, according to Brad. So,
That's very impressive.
yeah.
And Tommy got a full year's worth of credits. He did a whole year's
Yeah.
worth of classes
Yeah.
in one semester. He's already a sophomore. So we got some talented intellectuals on our team. Awesome. That was a good time, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Boardroom. We'll catch you on the next one. ILL.